This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares one of the three segments of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, November 10, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format with some of the school committee and central office personnel in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee and the public was on the conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The meeting total runs 2 hours and 35 minutes, and I've split it into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the superintendent's report, which covers the topics of the reopening status, including the testing for Franklin High School athletes and theater students to enable their return this week. That runs about 48 minutes. The second segment covers the presentation and discussion on the portrait of a graduate. That runs about 47 minutes. And the third and final segment covers the discussion action items through to the remainder of the meeting, about 60 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder, also linked, will hold the superintendent's report and the portrait of a graduation presentation copy. Those are usually posted to the folder the day after the meeting. So let's listen to this first segment of the school committee meeting of November 10, 2020.
Oh, there we go. Okay. This is actually the organizational meeting for the school committee. I'm Sarah Ahern, the superintendent, and at the beginning of the meeting, we will reorganize. So I am going to call the meeting to order. It is now 7:03, and we will take attendance by roll call. Ann Bergen?
Here.
Jen D'Angelo?
Here.
Tim Keenan? Here yet. Judy Pfeffer?
Here.
Sarah, we can't hear you. Sarah? What gives?
Jokes. Okay. We are going to start this evening with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sarah, we lost you. So after Tim, we didn't hear a thing.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So we are taking attendance. Judy Pfeffer?
Here.
MJ Schofield?
Yes.
Denise Spencer?
Here.
And Elise Stokes?
Here.
Okay. So prior to the organizational meeting, we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. We are joined this evening by Sarah Anderson, who is a grade 8 student at the Remington Middle School. And also joining us is Mr. Dupre, the principal of Remington, and Ms. Champagne, the assistant principal at Remington. And I'm just going to read a little bit about you, Sarah. Thank you for joining us. She was chosen to represent Remington as she exemplifies the core values that Remington stands for. Sarah is an outstanding student, kind to all her peers, and is supportive of the RemDog way, respectful, empathetic, mindful, determined, accepting of others, worthy, and grateful. In her daily life at school, she works to spread these attributes among her peers. She is a member of the Remington Orchestra. Outside of school, Sarah plays on multiple basketball teams, has played the guitar for 4 years, and enjoys spending time with her family and her Springer Spaniel Lyric. Thank you, Sarah, for representing Remington so well. And at this time, Sarah, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sarah. Now we will have a moment of silence. Thank you. And before we get into the regular agenda, the first order of business is the organizational meeting. And I will facilitate the election of the chair of the Franklin School Committee. And then once the chair is determined, the chair will have the election of vice chair. So at this time, I would look for nominations for the position of chair of the Franklin School Committee.
I'd like to nominate Ann Bergen.
Okay, we have a motion to nominate Ann Bergen made by MJ Schofield. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Denise Spencer. Any discussion? Okay, we'll vote via roll call vote. I will do this alphabetically. Ann Bergen?
Yes.
Jen D'Angelo. Oops, she just turned her camera off. Tim Keenan. Not in yet. Judith Pond-Pfeffer.
Yes.
MJ Schofield.
Yes.
Denise Spencer.
Yes.
And Elise Stokes.
Yes.
Okay. And Tim Keenan just joined, the time being, for the purpose of the minute, 7:07. Tim, there is a motion being voted on. There was, MJ made a motion to nominate Ann as the chair. It was seconded by Denise, and looking for your vote.
Yes, my vote is yes.
Okay, and I'll come back to Jen D'Angelo to see. Okay, I will end the voting there with Ann being the chair, 6-0. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I just want to thank everyone for the honor. It truly is an honor, and I greatly appreciate it. And I'll do my best to represent us, work well with all of us. And I thank you for your support and moving right along. Thank you.
Ann?
Yes.
Can it be noted in the minutes that Jen was at the meeting, then she left the meeting, so she did not take part in the vote?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so at this time, I would entertain a motion to nominations for the vice chair position. I just got to move my gavel here. Entertaining motion for the position of vice chair.
I think yep. MJ. Andrea.
Oh, MJ?
Right, I'd like to nominate Denise Spencer.
Is there a second? Yep. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Any other nominations? Seeing none, the roll call vote will come on the motion to elect Denise Spencer as vice chair. Roll call vote. Jen D'Angelo? Tim Keenan.
I vote yes.
Yes. Judy Pond-Pfeffer.
Yes.
Mary Jane Schofield.
Yes, for Spencer.
Denise Spencer.
Yes.
Yes. Elise Stokes.
Yes.
And Ann Bergen, yes. Vote. Congratulations to our new vice chair. And I want to thank MJ for serving as vice chair and being such a support to me and to other members along the way. So thank you, MJ, for that. And I'm really happy that you're on board and working also with me as the role of vice chair. Thank you.
Thanks, MJ.
Moving right along.
Good job, Denise.
At this time, review of agenda, does that look okay to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ann?
Yeah, go ahead, MJ.
Was the executive session taken off?
There is no executive session.
Okay, it was on the one that we had received.
Okay, yep, thanks, MJ. Clarification, there is none tonight. At this time, if there's anyone who wishes to make a citizen's comment, anything that is not on the agenda this evening. Seeing anyone?
I do not see any hands raised.
I see one.
Oh, wait, I can't make up.
Angela Snyder.
Okay. I'm going to just read, we have one person wishing to make a citizen's comment so far. Let's see, I just want to make sure I read this. In the spirit of open communication, the committee will hold a public participation segment, also called citizens' comments, about matters not related to an agenda item at the beginning of each regular school committee meeting. The committee will listen to, but not respond to, any comment made. A committee member may add an agenda item to a future meeting as a result of a citizen comment. The committee will hear public comments related to agenda item when the chair deems appropriate during the committee meeting. Topics for discussion during the meeting must be limited to those items listed on the committee meeting agenda for that evening. So at this time, and the only thing we ask just out of consideration is if you could limit your comment to no more than 3 minutes. So Ms. Snyder, if you're there, take it away.
Hi, thank you for making time. And I apologize, I don't believe this is on the agenda tonight, so please stop me if it is.
Sure.
But my comments relate to just the impact of the remote learning on working parents, and specifically for children in kindergarten and first grade. I have a first grade daughter. And so if this is an element that's going to be discussed later, I'm happy to stay on. And
it is, Angela, and Ms. Snyder, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it is an item on the agenda, and it's an important item. We hope you stay involved and stay, and certainly at that point in the meeting, if you'd like to make a public comment, you're certainly welcome to do that.
Okay, so I'll wait, and we'll make a comment later. Thank you.
Sound okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right. Now we go to Franklin High School student representative comments.
Yeah, hi everyone.
Oh, here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I'm Akash Shetty. I'm a senior at Franklin High School. So just my update from what I've seen so far. Things have been going well generally in the high school realm. I think people have gotten pretty used to the remote learning. Our quarter one is coming to an end sometime next week. And so testing has been a bit difficult. It's hard for teachers to administer tests, and they need to get some tests in before the quarter ends. So that part was a little iffy, but other than that, I've been seeing some good success. It's a little biased too, because I've personally found the online learning a little easier to adapt to. And I think it's easier from an older student's perspective. But besides that, I'd say another thing I want to just point out is the guidance office at Franklin High School has been very supportive, and they've been doing a great job in supporting especially seniors through the college application process. I think they've put out a lot of great materials, and I've really felt that they were there to support me. So I just like to give them a shout out. Yeah, those are my observations.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Any other other representatives like to speak, please? Can you see Denise for me?
I do not see any other student reps.
Okay. No one else?
I do see someone has their hand raised.
One of the students?
No. Vera Cooper.
Yes, hi. I'm here. I actually had a comment a question really that I would like to have answered. And it's regarding the email that was sent out about the optional insurance on the Chromebooks that were distributed to elementary and middle school students. I had written to Dr. Hearn about basically saying that I was returning the laptops back to Remington Middle School. Mr. Dupre had been CC'd on that email, and it's really because it was indicated that really the parents had no choice. We had to take these assigned laptops. And then, this email comes out afterwards saying, by the way, you either have to pay an optional insurance, or if any damages occur to these laptops, you're going to be responsible to pay for it. I'm really not happy about the way that was handled. I think that should have been communicated before the laptops were distributed. So I'd like to know if that can be addressed.
Thank you for your comment. We appreciate it. Okay. We'll move right along. Any other Franklin High School students? I think we're all set on that. I wanted to thank you so much for that. That's informative, giving the updates. That helps us. Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Sure. I have a number of things to share with you this evening.
much of the school reopening information I sort of shifted into a status update, which we'll talk about in the discussion area of the agenda. But since the packet went out on Friday, there are a couple of things that I thought would be helpful to talk about. And then I have some highlights to share about some things that are happening in the schools that we're pretty excited about. So the first thing that I just wanted to address for the school committee and for the community is the governor's statement from Friday related to updated health metrics and how that is kind of being thought about within the district. So the Department of Public Health and the governor adjusted health metrics on Friday, and they were adjusted to take into account the size of the community as well as the percent positivity of testing. And we've been monitoring the percent positivity in testing both here in Franklin, in the county, and in the state for some time. But the color coding of the map now takes into account the different sizes of the different communities. So where this week we are at 4.3 cases per 100,000 and would have previously been a yellow designated town, we are now designated green and in a lower risk category. So they've kind of changed that map. The governor and the commissioner shared some expectations based on the map about learning models. Districts and schools and communities designated gray, green, or yellow are expected to have students learning fully in person if feasible. A hybrid model should be used only if there's no other way to meet health and safety requirements. Schools in red communities should implement hybrid models while maximizing in-person learning time for high-need students, and fully remote instructional models should be implemented as a last resort. One of the areas that many districts and superintendents are thinking about is the word feasible. We had done a feasibility study initially in the summer as part of our reopening plans to be thinking about what full in-person hybrid and remote learning would look like. And we had at that time determined from a K-8 perspective, we would be able to be full and in person at 3 feet of distance, but not at 6 feet. Now that we're kind of living hybrid, particularly K-8, and as we are moving to hybrid and we're very eager and anxious to get there at the high school, there are other things that we are learning and know about, which I think play into this idea of whether or not there's feasibility for full in-person learning. And a couple of those matters include the distancing. And if 6 feet of distancing is the standard, which the CDC has as the standard, particularly as it relates to contact tracing, we would be challenged to be full and in person. Staffing is another consideration. Like many districts, we are struggling to fill positions. Many of our core positions are filled, but we have actively sought to create some additional positions through coronavirus relief funds and are having trouble filling all of those positions to provide additional support in the schools. And substitutes, for example, are very difficult to come by. And we're seeing an increase in the number of staff who are dealing with the health of their own children, for example, and some of the medical requirements that their doctors are suggesting for their own quarantine or testing based on a health concern of their child, which may or may not be COVID related. But we know that we're heading into cold and flu season. Transportation is another feasibility matter. We have buses running at a third of capacity. And so the idea of going full and in person doesn't necessarily take into consideration the reduced bus runs and what that would do for the school day schedule. And then other matters related to all of the work that we've done and that has gone into putting in this reopening plan in collaboration with the educators in the district. So I think it was, some big news that the governor put out on the table. And I think that we all share a value of in-person learning and really are eager and want students to be back in school full and in person. But there is a lot of practical considerations that need to be fleshed out, thought about, and on the table And so that feasibility matter, I think, is coming up again and anew as it relates to what that expectation and recommendation has been put out. The Superintendents Association said this a little bit more succinctly in a message that they put out in their blog this afternoon. And so I just wanted to kind of share some of my thoughts with the school committee. And this will get put into to writing for the superintendent's report and out to the community and to faculty as well, just to sort of kind of relate some context as to the expectations that had been shared. We will continue to monitor the health metrics here in town. While we were up a little bit a couple weeks ago, we've gone from in, I think it was 7.6, and now 2 weeks later, we're 4.2. So the number per 100,000 is down a little bit, and our positivity rate is something else that we've been looking at. So I think there's while we know that the cases are going up across the state, there those are some of the Franklin numbers that we've been monitoring. We'll continue to look at it as an administrative team. We'll continue, especially with the reopening monitoring team, to talk about some of these things, because I think it's important for everybody to know kind of what would it take. And I'll keep you informed with various implications through what we're talking about. I also want to recognize, though, just the tremendous effort that's going into the hybrid model and the tremendous work that's happening by our administrators and by our faculty and by our staff. So I don't want to take away from that. Want to make sure we're also keeping focused on the task at hand, which is to make sure that our students are having the highest quality education they can at the current moment. I wanted to also just sort of share some thoughts with the committee related to some of the decisions and I guess execution at the high school related to going remote after the Halloween party, and just sort of emphasize a few key points, because I think that one of the questions that has come up is around expectations and what would happen potentially if this were to happen again, and what decisions would be made. So I want to kind of walk back through a few things. It's very uncomfortable for me, in part because the number of emails and calls that have come in have been really overwhelming in terms of me, Mr. Angelo, or Mr. Hanna responding to each one individually. So I'm very uncomfortable with the idea that we were putting out joint statements and not responding to individuals, but it was the way that we felt we could best manage the situation while also working behind the scenes to try to come up with a solution. I wanted to make sure that I emphasize that the return to remote was made most reluctantly. We are very excited to welcome students to the high school in person in a hybrid model, and a lot of work has gone into setting that up. And so on an emotional level, we ourselves were very disappointed and frustrated. We made the decision in consultation with the Department of Ed and our local health department, who supported it. And our primary concern was that there was a large gathering where the health and safety practices weren't in place, and we were unable to identify a large number of attendees. Some have argued that parties are happening a lot in town, and why were we responding to this one? In this case, the party was broken up by police, and we had confirmation and had to take action. But I feel like the message is sort of missed and lost. If other parties are going on in town, I think that there's a community responsibility to respond to that, address it, not hold them, and have conversations with your neighbors to discourage that, given what we have heard, which is that a lot of the virus is spreading in these gatherings that people are having privately. So we just ask and implore folks in Franklin to be good neighbors to each other and not host these gatherings. I think there has been, people have pointed out that our health and safety practices are in place, such as mask wearing, hand hygiene, and physical distancing. to prevent the spread in the event that someone comes into the high school setting or any of our settings with COVID-19. And I think that this is a really important and valid point. We do have these in place as preventative measures. As it relates to the high school has not had as much practice in these health and safety practices, in particular with upwards of 700 people in the building at one time. And so we took a cautious approach with the concern we had about bringing a potential cluster into the high school. Going forward, would we make the same decision? My answer to that is perhaps. We would take a look at the facts of the case and make a determination after consulting with the health department and the Department of Education. But it's not one that we would want to make. Like I said, we want students to be to value that. We value that in-person connection that students and teachers make and that students make with each other. We are also aware of the social emotional toll our students are facing, and a number of people have reached out talking about the stress and screen time. And that is all information that we will take back and reflect on. And we're always looking to improve, particularly this year when we're doing something that we've never done before. Again, perhaps we would take a look at each situation and the facts of that situation to make a decision. We felt and continue to feel terrible at the thought that many students at FHS were, quote, being punished as a result of the behavior of a few. Unfortunately, again, on a large scale, didn't feel that we were in a position to necessarily problem solve. Mm-hmm. But we did see an opportunity to pilot this idea of screening students through COVID tests in response to a need. Not in a diagnostic way, but using a COVID test as a screener. And we didn't know at what scale we would be able to test. And so we had to make some priorities. And we prioritized our varsity athletes and theater performers who had kind of fixed dates. The theater performance was adjusted, but the opportunity for them to perform outside is going to close pretty quickly. And so we prioritized those two groups for COVID testing if we were able to put it together. And it took a lot to put it together. Some have asked, why couldn't you test everybody at the high school and get people back in? I think that would be, in an ideal world, what we would like to see. Mm-hmm. And what I think is necessary at this point in time in terms of helping us get back to something a little bit more normal would be COVID-19 tests that are more screening in format than diagnostic, but that's not quite where we are. But we saw this as an opportunity to pilot. And there are so many people to thank in terms of the outreach. We were fortunate to get a couple groups who were willing to test the students. But again, if I was asking to test 600 students, I'm not sure we would have had a yes. But when I said it would be 60 to 80 on short notice, we were able to get the Foxborough Fire Department on site on Saturday morning to test the students. And it went very, very well. We had groups broken up over the course of the morning. They checked in at one tent and then went and got tested at another tent. We quickly put together some attestations for parents to attest that the student did not attend the party, as well as acknowledgement of taking the test and some of the risks and privacy pieces there. Lucas played a huge role. Miriam was of great assistance behind the scenes, as was Josh and Tom. And I do want to give a shout out to Jim McLaughlin, our fire chief, who helped us with this connection. But it was very frustrating. I think it's very frustrating to be thinking and trying to find ways to make this happen. And there really aren't that many providers. We were able to identify two ultimately. And we'll definitely be thinking more about the ways in which we might leverage testing in the future and how we might be able to support it on a broader scale. There are other districts who are pursuing it locally. They're kind of combining together, and Wellesley has actually already begun some testing of students, and others are looking into it. So that's something that we will continue to look at and pursue to see what the possibilities might be. But we're really happy to be able to allow our theater performers to rehearse this week in advance of their cabaret and to have our varsity athletes competing in postseason. Would we do it again? Would we test again in a similar circumstance? A lot went into making that happen. I think timing played a role in the decision. I think because it was the end of the season with only 2 weeks left, this marks a final moment for our athletes, particularly our seniors who are playing those sports, which weighed heavily in our mind. And so if we were facing this again, would we test? I think we would be thinking about the timing of it and the how heavy of a lift is it to have the testing happen? And we might not. If it were the first week of the season, we might decide to forego that. Or not, maybe we would. Again, I think we would look at the circumstances and see if it were feasible. But timing did play into it, and we had to think quickly about prioritizing who, and so we chose based on the timing and the window narrowing for the theater performers and the athletic competition. So I just wanted to walk back through some of those things and talk a little bit further in a way that you can't via email or can't individually to different people who reach out. And so I just wanted to share a few of those thoughts with you. I have a couple other things that I would like to highlight, some good news pieces from our schools. The first is from the middle level. Last year, for the first time, our middle school reading specialist brought a visiting author to all three middle schools in Franklin. A grant from the FEF allowed us to pursue this opportunity, and Leslie Connor was the author last year who visited November 13th through 15th. The grant was supported once again. And this month, the middle schools will welcome young adult author Jordan Sonnenblick, who was the author at Horace Mann a few years ago. All three schools hosted an online book fair with An Unlikely Story, and they held a virtual stop, drop, and read day last Wednesday, so every student could access his highly engaging books before his visit. Next week, he will spend three virtual days in Franklin. He will present to the entire student body as well as host a small group writing workshop and book club style discussion. There's been some challenges this year as a result of the pandemic and translating the event into the virtual realm. But the reading specialists at our middle level believe in this author has the power to transcend the virtual medium and connect with the kids. So we're very excited about Jordan Sonnenblick connecting with our students at the middle level again through the Stop, Drop, and Read program. So we thank our middle school reading specialists for coordinating that, as well as the administrators who are all here on the call because of the Portrait of a Graduate Leader tonight. And his presentation is jointly funded by an FEF grant, the PCCs, as well as some middle school funding from the budgets. The Franklin High School performers showcased their talents through a chamber concert last week in the virtual setting. And so I thought I might share a few clips with the school committee if you'd like to see the chamber music recital. So while this is coming up, this was held last Thursday, November 5th. And they held a virtual chamber music recital. And what you'll see first are the music department teachers, and then I'll show a couple clips from the event.
You see it there. You can see it.
Sorry, we don't have volume.
The volume's off.
I'll pause that there and just keep going so that I'm not fumbling through the audio during the presentation. We'll try to figure that out and get it queued up. Nonetheless, the link will be in the superintendent's report so you can view the chamber event, and the next one is Thursday, December 10th. And lastly, I just wanted to note that Dr. Ashley and I will be representing the John F. Kennedy Elementary School and Franklin Public Schools this Friday at a virtual award ceremony with the U.S. Department of Education. As you know, Kennedy is one of 367 schools being recognized as a Blue Ribbon School this year, and so we're very proud to represent Franklin accepting the award as being recognized for an exemplary gap-closing school. So those are the some highlights from the schools this week.
Excellent. How about if just go through and see if anyone on the committee has question, comment from the superintendent's report. I'll start with Jen. Anything?
Hi, thank you, Dr. Hearn, for the update. Are we looking to bring back just the
athletic? Jen, we can't hear you.
Oh, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're a little quiet.
Oh. Can you hear me?
It's very, very faint.
Is there like a volume control for it?
I think you just played with the audio from the video, maybe. Can you not?
Try it again, Jen.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
It's a little bit. We can hear you. It's very, very faint, though, so just speak up pretty loudly.
Oh, Ann. I never thought you'd say that, Ann. So just a quick question. We're bringing back the athletes. I think that was a great collaborative community effort to look at that and kind of think outside the box. I'm wondering if anything kind of pertained to bringing back the cohort sooner and looking at, you know, I understand not being able to screen all 1800 students, but looking at some opportunities. I know you referenced, you know, the last 2 weeks of the season being kind of a rationale for prioritizing, but I also have to express my significant concern that some of these high school students have not stepped foot in the building prior to term one ending. And I think that that's something that we need to really take a look at as well. So I wasn't sure if you were looking or exploring any other screen to get these hybrid groups back into the high school instead of delaying it.
So we talked about bringing the hybrid in beginning on November 16th versus this week any earlier in light of what the teachers and faculty had been planning for. So that was part of the consideration after we saw some success with the testing on Saturday. You know, kind of, I think, feel the same way in terms of concern for our high school students, but in terms of what the teachers had been planning for this week, didn't want to make that shift on them. The plan going forward is to bring the third group in, cohort C, on the 16th, out of consideration for plans that families may have made with respect to the schedule that was originally published.
After Thanksgiving.
All set, Jen?
Nope. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So one more question. You talked about the, what, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you talked about the author visit, which I think is a great thing that's happening in the middle schools. I know that the virtual platform is not ideal for this kind of activity, but it's great to see that that's still happening. And I'm wondering if a positive opportunity that came out of this may be an option to create some interpretation of that author using some translation services or apps so that we can engage all of our families and learners for an equity component. So I, you know, just kind of thinking along those lines, it might be a positive in light of the need for virtual.
Thank you. Thanks for the comment and the suggestion. It was related to taking advantage of the virtual option and kind of interpretation of the author. pardon me if you did hear, I just wanted to kind of repeat
yes,
for everybody's
yes,
sake,
thank you.
You know, kind of interpretation of the author for kind of full family engagement with some of our English learners and families who may need translation services. So it's a great point.
Anything else, Jen?
No, I'm all set. Thanks, Anne.
Okay, Tim Keenan.
Yeah, hi. I'm just going to kind of go through four groups that I really want to thank for everything that's going on right now. The first, just the kids at all levels. We really appreciate everything that you guys have had to go through. And the way that you've handled it has been unbelievable, like amazing. The adaptability, the flexibility that you guys have all had. I have two kids, like the resiliency I see. I really believe, you know, while we're, you know, the ideal schooling environment is not there right now, the level of resiliency and adaptability and overcoming the challenges you guys are having to overcome, I really think, you know, we're going to see the best leaders that we've ever had in our nation coming out of the kids that are in school right now. So thanks to all the kids for that. And then the parents, I know this situation sucks. It sucks for me having two kids and having to deal with everything we have to deal with and the sacrifices that a lot of parents are making to just, you know, help their kids during this time right now. And I know we don't love to follow all the guidelines in place, but for everyone that's following them, thank you for that. And then the teachers have been doing an unbelievable job, amazing job. And I know it's been stressful, and I really appreciate you all staying dedicated and just adapting also. And then finally, the administration, as well as the principal of the high school and the AD, to work really, really hard to help get the varsity athletes and the performers back before the 2-week period. I really appreciate that. I know it must mean a lot to the kids that, you know, even if they missed a week, but they got a week back. They've been advocating for themselves. The kids have been advocating for themselves for such a long time, and to be able to do something that could give them some kind of a win, right, in a time when so much is out of their control. So I know a lot of effort went in, and it goes beyond the AD and the principal and the superintendent, but for everyone that was involved to just, you know, make that happen, it's really, really appreciated. And then just finally, just to the broader community, I'm sure a lot of you are like me, like where you don't like being told what to do. And I don't. And we're at a time right now where we're being told to follow guidelines. And so regardless of what people's personal beliefs are, I ask that we just continue to follow guidelines, because when we don't, and by the way, and hold each other accountable for following those guidelines, because when we don't, the kids are the ones that end up suffering the consequences at the end of the day. And the kind of the 2-week pause in getting back is an example of that. So I'm not telling people what to do, but you know, if we can do it, it would really help the kids in the long run. That's it for me.
Thanks, Tim. Judith Pfeiffer, any comments, questions?
I do. Just one thing. I want to commend the school administration for being amenable to bending, for changing after a decision had been made so that the Vasily athletes and the performers were able to finish out. You know, I know it made an awful lot to those kids to do that. And it was for the administration to bend, it was very not knowledgeable and knowing, and it's very thankful for the students, athletes, and the performers in the Franklin High School. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Mary Jane Schofield?
Yes, thank
Go
you.
Go ahead. Any comments, questions?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yes, thank you, again to the administration for all that they did to enable the the athletes and the performers to get back to, you know, what they love doing. Sarah, I was wondering if you could briefly address the comment that was made as part of citizens' comments. Yeah, about the Chromebook insurance. Would you want to do that now or when we do policy? And I know that was part of one of the policies that we're going to be presenting tonight.
I can talk about it now if you wish as part of the, you want to talk about it in policy?
I think you should wait because policy? It's, okay. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine, as long as it gets addressed.
That it, MJ?
That is it, thank you.
Okay, Janice?
Everyone's covered everything, I'm all set.
How about Elise?
I know, it's hard going last, right, Denise?
Yep.
So the only thing I wanted to add was that I watched the chamber concert, which was emailed to us, and it was really beautiful, and I just wanna thank everybody who had a part in that, and a big, congratulations and job well done to those students. It was really beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Elise. I just had two quick things to say. I just wanted to thank Tim Keenan because he was, when this happened and you know, he particularly, like all of us, felt the agony of what was happening to the kids, you know, playing sports and missing out. And he just kept going with trying to come up with positive ways to get the conversation going. And I just felt so happy that, you know, I couldn't come up with anything, but just listening to the wheels turn and how much he was trying to spur that discussion to not give up and find a way to make it work. So I did want to just say that to Tim, because it meant a lot that you were kind of out there on the front lines trying to figure a way that was a good thing. And I did want to just follow up on what Sarah said about, we really do, it seems to me as a community, I know I keep bringing this up, but it really is the public health infrastructure, and it is screening and testing, because we could be doing so much if we just had much more of that infrastructure in place. So I know we're working on it. We're all working together as a community to do that, but I think we have to keep pushing that, because I think that's going to be a solution to a lot of this if we can really beef that up. So, and I did want to just one other thing about the, thanking the Franklin Education Foundation for the grant. You can see with the middle school author and how important that is, and the things that the PCCs, we have to find ways to keep supporting them and thank the Franklin Education Foundation, because they do such, I know you're a representative on there now, and you know the good work that they've been doing for so many years in Franklin. So anyway, that was it for me. So thanks, Sarah. Let's move along to,
I think Steve Sherlock has
Steve raised. Steve, did you have a...
Yes, question, Madam Chair, related to the testing, and I certainly appreciate and second the comments made earlier in regards to the turnaround, the testing, et cetera. You also mentioned the infrastructure of the health is not in place. So to the extent that you have a budget, we all have a budget issue. I'm curious, that costs something. Is that being covered? I'm assuming that testing was not free.
No, the testing was not free, and we had alumni donations pay for part of the testing, and then we'll take the rest of it out of the athletic department budget. With some cancellation of games last week, there had been savings within the athletic department based on that, so we would repurpose the funds.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana,
Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.